You are tuned in to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Gang, it's now time for this week's edition of Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I'm here to share the world of folk music and or the world of local folks with you. For all you listeners who are folkies in training, I'm referring not only to musicians, but listeners, collectors, historians, and any other keepers or adapters of the tradition, I'd enjoy it if people were aware of the community of local folk that I've grown to love, and I'm here to help shed light on the community through the music and the stories of my guests who are here to share with you a little bit about themselves and their music. And before I introduce tonight's guests, I'm going to give you a little weather for the next few days, read a message from our underwriters, and share with you a few announcements. Let's see, gang. Right now, it is mostly cloudy, 56 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, a chance of drizzle after midnight, patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise increasing clouds with a low around 41, northeast wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing with a high near 68, west wind between 3 and 7 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 49, southwest wind between 6 and 9 miles per hour. Try not to go past 24 hours from now. After that, I think it's just witchcraft and other things telling us what the weather might be like. Let's see. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Do Hair Salon at 25 Government Street in Kittery, specializing in everything for hair, cuts, colors, do's, updo's, and urban styling. You can reach Do at 207-439-4009. All right. And there's also a few community announcements that I'd like to make you aware of. As we know, Restaurant Week is coming up. The program that we had on before this was all about Restaurant Week. And this is about food. The Stone Church in Newmarket will host the Local Food Network community event with an evening of networking, casual dining, and presentations by local food leaders. On April 2nd, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., they will share a vision for a more localized food system, highlight upcoming events, and let attendees know how to get involved. The Local Folk Network is a group of committed collaborators of not-for-profit organizations formally networking to share resources to build a food system that provides local, clean, fair, healthy food for the seacoast. Very important. For more information about the event or the Local Food Network, the contact is Jessica at food@seacoastlocal.org or at localfoodnetwork.org/LFN-community-event. Here's a cool one. The New Hampshire Renaissance Fair will be held on May 12th and 13th, and again on May 19th and 20th from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. The location is the Three Maples Farm at 9 Thorn Road in Kingston, New Hampshire. The Renaissance Fair will be donating a portion of the proceeds to charity. Attendees will be able to experience meeting knights who battle it out or have tea with the queen. Information on tickets and other details can be found at nhrenfaire.com, nhrenfaire.com. All right. Hey, I also just want to give a thanks to Sylvia Misko, who was my guest last week. We had a little bit of a, as many of you listeners know, I like to keep an archive of all previous shows and post them on my website, StephenKerrigan.com, under the Local Folk Archive. And unfortunately, we had a little bit of a glitch this week, and last week's program was lost. So in the spirit of old-time radio, we don't have a recording of it. But I did want to thank her for being on. I want to thank her over and over again. She also gave me this country dance CD that's just unbelievable. I've got these songs stuck in my head now, and I thank her for that. That was the Canterbury Country Dance Orchestra, and boy, was that good. Thank you very much, Sylvia, and we will have you on again, and this time we will be sure that it is saved forever. All right. Tonight's guest, let's move on to the Local Folk radio program that's happening tonight. Tonight's guest is considered a top player by anyone that's ever heard him, and a ranger also of Celtic fingerstyle guitar, yet his diverse repertoire also includes original compositions, blues and ragtime, traditional American roots music, and folk music from a variety of other backgrounds. It didn't start out that way. He didn't grow up in a family that promoted the learning of music, and it was his rock and roll sensibilities that brought him to do it originally. You know, he learned electric guitar, but it was eventually replaced with acoustic stringed instruments, including acoustic guitar, mandolin, and bouzouki, and a folk sensibility and style all his own. He's at home at jam sessions, contra dances, traditional sessions, coffee houses, festivals. He's like the chameleon. And when he's not making the music, he's helping others to do so by teaching. And he's even written a book of his arrangements of Celtic music. And he's also the head of the folk department at Concord Community Music School. This is a huge repertoire of achievements here. Even at home, he helps pass along the musical tradition to his children, playing and performing out live with the whole family. And through these efforts, he's touched the lives of many a member of the local folk community and beyond. As you've guessed, my guest is David Surrett. And he's been mentioned more than any other person that's been... Everyone that comes on my show, or most of the people that come on my show, says, hey, one of my influences is David Surrett. So I said, I have to bring him on and find out what his influences are and what's going on and why he's helping so many people. And what is going on? Well, it's my pleasure to have him in here today, and hopefully we can get some of these questions answered. Welcome, Dave Surrett.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be here. Nice to be had.
Hey, I was amazed when we first started chatting a little while back about the idea of how you came to the music. You know, somebody with such a diverse repertoire of yourself, I would have thought grew up in, you know, with like the as an adopted son of the Clancys or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but somebody like that. But tell me, you came to it through rock and roll music.
I did, yeah. There wasn't a lot of music in our household growing up. My mother did play piano, but we had five kids, and she was very busy. It wasn't like she sat down and played at the piano very often. So there was that in the background. I know her mom and some of her aunts were by-ear piano players back in the day, playing the popular songs from the 30s and that sort of thing. But yeah, it was really high school rock and roll that really did it for me.
Was it to try to get the ladies?
Steve, I can't really say that. You know, I mean, that sounds so shallow.
It does, but you were in high school at the time. That's okay. Please don't answer that. Well, I'll keep that to my... I know that's why I personally learned how to play the guitar so long ago, and then I found out that there was so much more to it than that, so I'm sure you jumped clear over that. But
well, I just figure anything I could do to help out in that realm was helpful, but I loved the guitar, too, and I loved rock music. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was. I was really sort of taken up with it right away. I took right to it right off the bat.
You took right to it. You said this. You put it in your hands and you said, "Boy, this feels familiar." And you just started. Were you a natural at it then? Would you say?
Yeah, I would say so, because I was, you know, upstairs in my room, fiddling things out, figuring them out on my own, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, quickly right from the beginning. I think the first song I ever figured out on my own was that little riff to Day Tripper from the Beatles.
I see. Well, that's interesting to me, because most people are doing a couple power chords as their first song, and you're immediately trying to learn a melodic riff or a do-do-do-do-do instead of just throwing some chords out there. Fair enough to say that?
I probably was doing the chords too, yeah. You know, it was a combo effort. But yeah, it caught my ear, I suppose.
Yeah, because most of your style right now is not chord-oriented. I mean, there are chords in it, but you do a finger style. How would you describe your style that you play right now?
Yeah, no, I do a lot of picking, too. Yeah. A lot of it depends on the circumstance. When I'm playing by myself, I do a lot of finger picking. When mm-hmm. I'm playing with other people, it really depends on the scenario.
Oh, okay. You know? Hey, I'm going to play something that you may have been listening to way back when, and maybe you can tell me a little bit about it. I'm just going to play it in the background a little bit, but this is the genre of music called the...
This is Gary Davis, country blues. And the blues was really kind of a crossover point between the high school rock background and getting into the world of folk and traditional music. Yeah. I'd be reading the liner notes on a Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin album and hear about... Willie Dixon or mm-hmm. Robert Johnson or people like that. So I started to dig a little deeper and found out about electric blues first. Then I found out about acoustic blues. And the more I found, the more I was interested.
Let's just listen to this for one moment. Yeah. Question for you. Did you find this more exciting than rock music, or at the time when you started reading these liner notes, did you look at it and get the CD or the tape or whatever it was and say, boy, how are these guys influenced by this? Or did you say, hey, this is even more exciting? What happened?
I wouldn't say I found it more exciting. I found it different mm-hmm. and intriguing in mm-hmm. its own way. And it was also at the point when, at the beginning in high school, I played electric and acoustic. Mm-hmm. I was more geared towards electric. Mm-hmm. But I found myself enjoying the acoustic more. You know, rock and roll can be a big production, you know, with all the everything, the mm-hmm. drums and, you know, being up on stage and all that sort of thing. And I just really was drawn to the intimacy and the mm-hmm. sort of mellow feel of acoustic music. So, mm-hmm. and because I like the blues... then I gravitated more towards the acoustic blues. So it wasn't mm-hmm. that I found it more exciting in the other way. I just found it a little more relaxing. And it just suited my mood, I guess.
It just suited your mood a little bit better. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I've had a lot of people on the show who are, you know, big time influenced by the folk movement of the 60s because somehow they were a part of it. But you're a little bit younger than that, aren't you?
Yeah, I really missed the the 60s folk revival. I will tell people I'm a child of the 60s, but that was because I was born in 63.
Okay.
So the stuff that was popular in high school, you know, folk music was definitely not that. And even in college, it was a very much a minority interest at that point.
You told me you graduated high school in when?
81.
So, you know, you were almost as apt to pick up a keyboard as you would have been to pick up a guitar at that point in the 80s, correct?
Yeah. You know, it wasn't boom times for acoustic music, that's for sure. Although it's always been there.
Yeah.
So there certainly were those people that were into it. And I found my crowd there at college, that was, especially my senior year, that were into acoustic music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Newmarket with a musical household. We spent a lot of time up at the Stone Church on Sunday nights.
Okay, well, you had the Stone Church is one of those places that's a hub for this type of music, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And you were pretty close to it.
Oh, yeah, we were within walking distance. Staggering distance, we used to call it.
Staggering distance. I used to live within staggering distance to the Stone Church. I remember when it was, you could still smoke in there, and it had the Terrapin Station thing.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever else. It's still a great venue.
Great venue.
Yeah, so, and that always will be, I think. But I've known other guests that I've had on the program have been like from Newport area, and they've had a giant festival. And they're like, oh, I was in Newport in the 60s a lot.
Oh,
and they had like the Newport Folk Festival and things like that. But even something like a Stone Church or, you know, for me, it was something like the Press Room on a Friday night can have a big influence on your sensibilities at the time. Hey, speaking of those artists from the 60s that kind of were playing some acoustic music or kind of headed towards acoustic music is something that I'm playing right now. Now, this is David Grissom, correct?
Yes, this is the track with David Grissman and Tony Rice, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Should be.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was a huge influence on me, especially in terms of getting into the mandolin. I got into the mandolin my senior year in college.
Tell me about how you got into the mandolin, because that story sounds like it's kind of a college way of thinking about things. And the way it kind of happened in a college sort of way, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I was in a musical household in Newmarket, and we had three guitar players, my buddies John and Eric. And our jam sessions were very guitar-centric. So we thought that we needed to diversify a little bit. So the deal was that each guy would learn a different instrument. So Eric took up slide guitar. We always thought he was cheating just a little bit. John took harmonica.
Did he play it well, the slide guitar?
He did. He still does.
Okay.
And
that's not cheating. It's
no,
when it sounds weird that it's cheating.
And I took up mandolin. I had a friend who lent me a really cheap mandolin. And again, it was a feeling of, oh, wow, yeah, this is comfortable.
Yeah.
Just fit right into it.
Yeah.
Because I'd pick up other instruments like, you know, banjo or something and think, oh, well, that's okay, but I don't feel really drawn to play it. But I certainly did with the mandolin. And I think, like a lot of people, one of the first guys I heard on the mandolin was David Grissman playing on the Old and In the Way bluegrass album with Peter Rowan and Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. See, that's where I first heard the mandolin as well.
Yeah.
I didn't come out of the 60s. I wasn't even a child. I was a child of the 70s, in fact. I listened to Neil Diamond growing up and graduated to the Grateful Dead and then eventually heard this type of thing and said, whoa, this is different. This is
It really was a mind blower. I mean, Grissman is such a good player.
Mm-hmm.
So I still listen to him and I was very inspired to, you know, work on the technique. He has a beautiful tremolo, beautiful tone, as well as being able to play a million notes a minute. Yeah, you can hear some of that tremolo and tone on this track.
You teach mandolin, right?
I do. Mandolin and guitar, yeah.
Would you suggest that people listen to something like this if they were trying to get into it, or?
Essential listening. David Grissman, yeah, he's right up there.
Essential listening.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's listen to this for just a couple more seconds here, without interruption. Thank you. Essential listening. Absolutely essential listening. By the way, and this program is essential listening as well. This is your listening, of
but
course.
Of course.
But of course. You're listening to Local Folk here on WSCA. This is Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm Steve Garrigan, your host. I'm with Dave Surrett, and he is sharing his influences with me, and I'm very excited about it. What's going on? You started listening to this stuff, and then you started to develop. You have a unique style. I would say that a lot of people, you've been imitated, but never, you know, anything. I don't even know how the expression goes, but you've been imitated a lot, I will say. So you must have your own style. People can hear it, and they can say, that sounds like Dave Surrett. Boy, Dave Surrett was a big influence on me. But I learned this Dave Surrett song. I do it just like Dave Surrett does it. Definitely means that you have a very distinctive style that people can easily identify with and also that they enjoy quite a bit. Hey, where'd this come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think, you know, obviously, as the nature of this show would indicate, we're all a product of our influences. Mm-hmm. And I think also the stylistic things that appeal to us in music. Like, so for myself, I tend to like small bands rather than big bands. So for me to hear the beauty of that mandolin playing with David Grisman, mm-hmm. I chose a mandolin guitar duet mm-hmm. rather than a six-piece bluegrass band.
Right.
So yep. I think I do tend to like the more intimate, more sparse sounds.
Yeah.
Most of the playing situations I've been in over the years have been duos or trios as uh-huh. opposed to bigger bands, with one notable exception being Air Dance. I think I tend to like clarity and a clean sound. Mm-hmm. I like improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge like jazz or classical kind of guy. I tend to like things that are rootsy. So I think all those things probably help to make up an individual style.
Yeah.
And it's hard to analyze your own style, too. I can't really tell what people hear all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful that people tell me, oh, yeah, that, you know, that sounds like you. That's characteristic of you. So that seems, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Another person who has character, their own style that's pretty distinguishable is Harvey Reed.
Oh yeah, and he was a big influence on me back my senior year of college, and you know, in the mid to late 80s around here. You know, he was an influence on everybody at that point because Harvey was one of those guys who, in addition to being a really great player, was always figuring stuff out. He was always like one step ahead of everybody in terms of whether it was booking gigs or putting out CDs or fancy sound gear or partial capos. You know, smart guy mm-hmm. and very influential for a number of people. I know I'm not alone. But I think this track is, you're going to play the Canal Street Strut?
I sure am. In fact, I'm going to start it. Yeah, I'm going to start it right now. And let's talk about it. Let's listen to this for a bit and then we'll talk about it.
Thank you.
That was Harvey Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Performing. He was doing Canal Street Strut, and it looks like he wrote that.
Yes, that's one of his original ragtime tunes. That brings me right back to, you know, sitting at the press room on a Tuesday night, watching really a parade of great musicians get up there on Hoot Night. And if you were a young guitar player, you know, there was Harvey Reed, there was Bob Halperin, there was Rocky Rockwood. I mean, it was just like endlessly good blues folk guitar playing.
You know, I didn't know really until I had Rocky on my show that he was a blues guy.
Yeah.
Or that he ran the Hoot Night for as long
yeah.
as he did.
Yeah,
you learn something new all the time. So, yeah, I always think of these guys as your contemporaries, but I guess Harvey Reed is about 11 years your senior.
Yeah, he's 10 or 11 years older than me. So, you know, we really, I really looked up to him at that point. I still
Maybe.
Respect Harvey
yes.
quite a bit.
Yes. Well, so that was a very unique style. Well, a style that he plays and that was influential to you. And I can hear something of that in what you play. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I was inspired by those type of pieces that he would write. I've actually written a few things of my own in those kind of styles. It's a traditional style like, Travis picking or yeah. Ragtime picking, they might
yeah.
call it. Yeah.
Okay. Because you really are... your styles or your influences or your ability to play across the board is one of the things that makes you, you know, really such a great player. You don't seem to put yourself in the category, even though you wrote a book with Celtic arrangements. And, I mean, I have right here, let's see. Serret has distinguished himself among North American Celtic guitarists by his use of Breton and French materials. His technique is impeccable. And his touch and phrasing are immediately recognizable.
Is that true? Maybe that's true.
I don't know. But, you know, even though it says that you've distinguished yourself among Celtic guitarists, you do a Grateful Dead night sometimes, don't you?
I do, yeah. I have a duo. I have an acoustic Grateful Dead duo with my buddy Steve Roy.
And you also perform Celtic music with your family? Is that how... Or is it
some
any
of
number
that,
of things?
Some of that, although most of the stuff with my wife Susie in our duo, mm-hmm. It's a variety of folk stuff. She also has sort of a diverse repertoire,
mm-hmm.
Probably leaning a little more towards the contemporary side of folk, but also traditional folk.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of that with our daughters as well. Our older daughter, Issa, is mm-hmm. very into traditional Southern music, old-time music.
Southern
so we
music,
play
okay.
a lot of old-time American tunes.
Great.
And then the family band also does tunes that the kids really dig from the more modern world, like the Decemberists and the Avett Brothers
okay.
and Gillian Welch, stuff like that.
Okay.
We all dig that.
Okay. This next artist that we're looking at that you brought in for us to possibly sample, John Renborn. Now, he has sensibilities that are all over the place as well, right?
Yeah, and I would have to say I was thinking about it a little bit. Possibly my single biggest guitar influence.
Mm-hmm.
I got into him fairly early on. He was one of the earlier acoustic guitar players I had heard who had like a British Celtic oriented background.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, that CD you hold there, I got as an LP, a double LP
mm-hmm.
back in college, and I just wore it out. And it's a mix. He's a folky from the 60s. He's still playing strong now in his 70s. And he does an incredible range of material. And I just like the way he would synthesize elements from blues, Celtic, British folk, his own writing, early music, and still make it all sound like Renborn.
Okay, so he was an influence on you, and we're going to listen to a track called Another Monday.
Mm.
And is there something about that track in particular? Is it just you like it, or is it does it exemplify this fusion of all these different styles? Or?
I think it does. Give a listen, see what you think.
I
think it has that kind of vibe.
You don't have to tell me twice. Let's give it a listen. Thank you. Could somebody please explain to me exactly what style that was?
What is that? I mean, it sounds a little bit like blues, but not really. It maybe got a little touch of ragtime in it, but it's not ragtime. It's acoustic folk, right? It's not jazz. It's not classical, but it's kind of classy. He's a good picker. It's kind of refined, but
it's clean.
It's kind of earthy. It's definitely clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's clean. The style, the technique is there. It's not sloppy. So I did, and fun to listen to.
And that's back in the day. That's like, you know, mid 60s.
Yep. Yep. There's definitely a lot of fun to listen to. I just need to do a little station identification here and let you all know that you are tuned in to 106.1 FM, WSCA, LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm just going to take a peek at the musical calendar here. Open mic night, Friday nights, 4 to 7, acoustic music poetry, Seacoast Consumer Alliance, Peer Support Center, 544 Islington Street, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, 03801. Open mic nights on Friday nights at the Seacoast Consumer Alliance Peer Support Center, 544 Islington Street. Okay, I don't know where that is, but that's pretty cool. Acoustic music and poetry is on the open mic, and that is all that I have right in front of me. In terms of a musical calendar, I will remind people that if you want to listen to Irish traditional music, you can go to the Barley House on Tuesday nights in Concord. If you want to hear more of an American/Celtic, all sorts of things, you could go down to the press room on a Friday night from about 4 to 9. There's all kinds of great stuff going on there. I would call that my native session. If after listening to this program you needed more Irish, you can go down to Rera tonight. I know that Oran Mór is playing. They always play. I like to call it the local folk after party, although I will not be there tonight. what else is going on around town that you know of? Do you know of anything off the top of your head?
Oh, it's a great bluegrass jam over in Dover, Thursday nights.
Is that right?
Barley Pub, Steve Roy. Yeah.
Is that your gig?
It's not my gig. I sub for him sometimes.
Okay, you sub for him sometimes. Okay.
But I'll go down and jam with him sometimes, but he hosts a great jam there Thursday nights.
Well, I have some cool stuff that you've got going on. I'm looking at your upcoming gigs, and it's very soon we're going to talk about this gig that you have coming up at Elysium Folk Arts Folk Club, and the title of your gig is O Canada, Songs from the Great Canadian Singer-Songwriters, Volume 2, and it's part of your Cabin Fever series. And if you guys haven't been to the Elysium Arts Folk Club, I strongly suggest that you go check the place out. It's in Rollinsford. It's a great intimate environment, and I think it's a great place to be. It's, as far as I can tell, it's about as close as you can get to a 60s style coffee house, like, you know, and it's right there in Rollinsford, so you gotta go to it. So we'll talk about your gig there in a minute. I think that's probably going to do it for right now for our musical calendar. That is Steve Kerrigan's Local Folk Musical Calendar. I'm here with Dave Surrett, and we were talking about his influences and the different, the way that he came to the music that he plays. And another great artist that he has listened a lot to and has gotten influence from is Sarah Bowen?
Sarah Bowen, yes.
Sarah Bowen.
Yeah, Sarah is a great friend of mine, and I met her when I was a senior in college here at UNH. she was really one of the first people who turned me on to all the different varieties of Celtic music. He's a great whistle and flute player, great tune composer. We played a lot together for a number of years. I recorded on her first few albums, and I learned so much from her, and we played a lot of music together.
Now you mentioned that she plays the whistle, did you say?
Yes, yeah.
And what did you say? She plays the fiddle as well, was it?
No, whistle and flute.
Whistle and flute.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's nice is to be surrounded by your influences sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those personal influences from people that you shared music with directly, very important. And I'm so glad that I ended up in this area through going to UNH, where I met so many great musicians.
Now, this is an original, looks like she may have wrote this, The Untamed Grasses.
Yeah, this is a tune that she wrote. This is from her second album, and I'm playing bouzouki on this with her.
You are playing bouzouki. Okay, so we've entered the realm of music that we're playing on this program that you are on.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we can't go back from here.
A little double dipping.
Let's listen to Sarah Bowen. Not the smoothest transition on earth, but we just went from two different projects that Dave had played with in the past that were both influential to him. We finally entered the realm of David Surrett at music, and we've gone from something very intimate, which is this Sarah Bowen and gone right on to a, how many piece band was that? It sounded, it had a much bigger sound to it.
Yeah, that was a 5-piece band. That was a 5-piece contra dance band I was in called Air Dance.
Okay.
Which we were together from 99 through about, I think it was 2005, 2006.
Okay.
And, you know, toward the contra dance circuit, believe it or not, there's a national contra dance circuit. And our group made 3 CDs plus the fiddler, Rodney Miller, and I recorded a duo CD, and we, you know, did quite a bit of touring and played for dances.
You know what's it about contra dances is that I didn't know that there was a national touring or a national association, but type of folk music, maybe not just that type of folk music, sometimes these things get compartmentalized. Like, I don't hear too much contra dance music at traditional, what I'm calling a traditional music session, which would be like a pub session or something like that.
Right.
And the music sounds similar to me, but I just don't hear it down there. Or maybe they just don't announce it as a contra dance. Do you notice that?
Contra dance players will play Irish repertoire, for example, or French Canadian repertoire, but tunes that are thought of as typically contra dance tunes might not get played in other settings. You know, people don't sit around and play contra dance tunes in the same way. They tend to be used for the dancing.
You need to have a dancer for contra dance.
But by the same token, what a contra dance tune is a 32-bar reel for the most part, or jig. So they can be Irish, they can be old time, they can be French Canadian. It's kind of a melting pot, really.
Could be a Strathspey.
Could be indeed. We used the Thelonious Monk tune at one point. Retrofitted a little bit.
Right. I didn't notice. Did you have a pianist in that contra dance band?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
That's pretty necessary, isn't it, in a dance band?
Most of the bands have piano, yeah.
Okay.
We also had bass and drums, which is more of a recent addition.
Okay, that's pretty cool, too. I had Emery Hutchins on a few weeks ago, and he plays the Beauron at the contra dances now. And I said, well, I hadn't heard that, but I'm sure it adds. So
oh, sure.
I'm sure it's very cool. Of course, I'm a Beauron player, so.
There you go.
Hey, let's talk about another influence of yours, Susie.
One of my biggest. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because we met way back in the day, right? During my senior year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we were friends and musical compatriots, mm-hmm. and we started playing together, mm-hmm. and then things just evolved from there.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a wonderful musical influence. Both, I mean, in terms of playing with such a great singer,
mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot about trying to be a good accompanist,
yes.
trying to be a sensitive and responsive accompanist,
yes.
putting the song out there first, but also making it interesting. But she's also just a very discerning musician in a lot of ways. I always, you know, try to get her opinion on something, even though sometimes, you know, I dread it because she's very, very discerning. Like some people say, oh yeah, sure, that's fine, that's great. But you know, she really knows how to look at a piece of music with a analytical ear as well as a lot of heart.
Well, that's a big advantage if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what creates an influence. Somebody just telling you, oh, that sounds great. That may not be truly an influence.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't always want someone to just say, that's great, you know.
Let me ask you something about the difference between playing tunes or tunes and accompanying. What do you find more challenging, personally?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've done so much accompanying. I guess, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you could say that being the lead player is a little more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're certainly more on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I have probably more experience being an accompanist.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They both present their own set of challenges.
Their own set of challenges, yeah.
I think the big thing is you just have to get into a different headspace in a lot of ways. Like as an accompanist, you need to sort of blend and you need to support and you need to make the thing work together.
Yep.
And
yep.
as a leader, you also need to do that, but you need to kind of be the one driving it forward a little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, you're a little more responsible for the overall aesthetic perhaps. Yep.
But once again, you're like a chameleon, because some people are accompanists, you know, to tuned to song singers and song groups, and some people, they just want to go tune, you know. So
right.
To be able to do both is a great thing. And I want to play this track. We're going to play a French. Tell me about it.
Well, we're doing this show, Susie and I, this weekend with Kent Allen out at the Elysium Arts Folk Club.
Great
we mentioned
musician.
O Canada night. And this is sort of round two of a show we did last year. And there's so much great music from Canada, both traditional and contemporary songwriters. So from our When the Small Birds Sweetly Sing CD, there's a French-Canadian song on there called Beau Rossignol Sauvage that Susie sings. So we're going to hear that.
We are going to hear that right now. How do you pronounce that one more time?
Beau Rossignol Sauvage.
Do you know what that means in
beautiful,
English?
Beautiful Wild Nightingale.
Beautiful Wild Nightingale. Here we go.
Beau Rossignol Sauvage, le roi des amoureux, va dire à ma maîtresse que je vais aller la voir pas un dimanche au soir. Son père qu'est aux écoutes entend si compliment. Ma fille est trop jeunesse, n'a pas encore 15 ans pour avoir un amant. À que faut-il donc faire pour avoir un amant? Faut quitter père et mère, frère, sœur et parent, pour suivre son amant. Au passeur la rivière veux-tu me passer l'eau, me passer la rivière, bien vite et promptement pour moi et mon galant. Passez la rivière, belle île, vous faut de l'eau. Il faut de l'eau, la belle, de l'eau et l'argent pour passer promptement. Quand elle fut embarquée, elle se mit à chanter. Adieu père, adieu mère, frère, sœur et ami, pour moi j'ai mon mari, pour moi j'ai mon mari.
You are listening to Local Folk, and what we were just listening to was Susie Burke and David Surrett. It is a track number 6, Beau Rossignol, and it is off their album, When the Small Birds Sweetly Sing. One of the reasons that we performed that, or that we played that track, is because Susie Burke and David Surrett have a gig coming up Saturday, March 24th. It's O Canada, Songs from the Great Canadian Singer-Songwriters, Volume 2. This is part of a Cabin Fever concert series that they that they're going to be doing at Elysium Arts Folk Club. Among the other performers or the other people that are playing is Kent Allen on piano, bass, and electric guitar. Okay, so it's not a it's not just an acoustic show. There's a little electric guitar, a little of this and that. But you're going to be playing songs from greats such as Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Leonard Cohen, Bruce Cockburn, Ron Sexsmith, Farron? I don't know Farron.
Yeah.
Farron. Okay. Very good.
Quite a wide range of Canadiana.
Excellent. Well, that's good because there's a lot of French Canadians around here, I think.
Ah, oui, monsieur.
Yes. Are you one of them?
I am one of them. on my dad's side.
On your dad, are you like first generation or second generation or something?
My grandparents spoke French. They were from up there in Nova Scotia.
That's
Acadians.
Really cool. Acadians. Okay.
Indeed.
Very cool. We're going to have to get going in just a minute or two, but we're going to play something. We're going to leave you with something off of Dave Surrett's album, Sundog, and it's actually a song called A Lot of Sir John, and we've been listening. You know, you've really showed yourself on my program today. We didn't even really get to talk about it very much, but you're a teacher.
I am indeed, yeah.
Well, you have taught us a lot today. You've really shared these great influences, and when we hear the song on the way out, I think we're going to hear that it is the culmination of all these influences, correct?
Well, I hope so. Thank you very much for having me on your show, Steve.
Yeah, no, anytime. I mean, if there was anybody that I wanted to bring on, I have to say it was you, because everybody's like, Dave Surrett's a big influence on me. Hey, tell me about your influences. Well, this is one from Dave Surrett. I'm like, wow, what's going on? Hey, I saw Dave Surrett at Christmas. Oh, it's Dave Surrett at the Contra Dance. Oh, Dave Surrett at the this and that. I'm like, what is going on here? I have to have him on. He's all over the place. The O Canada. You write books on Celtic music. First time I met you was at Molly Malone's. And it was at a traditional, you know, Celtic music session.
Yep,
so
certainly do some of that still.
You know, we do all this stuff. Hey, if you want any more information about Dave or anything else, you, I'm sure, can feel free to go to his website. It's Susie Burke and Dave Surrett's website. It's burkesurrett.com, BURKESURETTE.com. Okay.
Sure thing. Track me down on Facebook, too, if you like.
Yeah, track him down on Facebook. He's all over the place. He's also known as, here we go, track him down, a brilliant soloist in the acoustic Celtic fingerstyle genre.
Yeah, you can't believe everything you read, though, Steve.
Well, that was French. That's a loose translation.
Zut alors, il est incroyable.
Hey, if you want to get in touch with me, I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and my email address here, if you have any questions for me, is scarrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at wscafm.org. Next, we have Under the Radar. I'm not exactly sure what the theme is, but I'm sure that it will be a good one. And next week on Local Folk, our guest is going to be Paul Carroll, Irish world traveler and balladeer, now living right here in New Hampshire. So thanks for joining us on Local Folk, and I leave you tonight with A Lot of Sir John, performed and written.
Yes, indeed.
Written and performed by David Surrett.